turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 first, and then I'm going to ask you to turn to about two or three other verses before we get through tonight. And so I just want to give you some little pointers as we finish up. Let's see, tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday, we'll begin the new year. I want to do better in the year 2004. My New Year's resolution is to never sin again. My resolution is I'm never going to sin one more time ever, starting Wednesday night at 12 o'clock. Y'all looking at me like, oh, Brother Danny, well, what's yours? You going to just cut back? That's your resolution, we'll cut back. I'm going to cut back on my sinning, Lord. Well, you say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, it probably is, but that ought to be our goal. That ought to be our desire. It ought to be our desire to say, Lord, I don't ever want to sin again. Now, I know you're laughing, and I'm laughing if you said it. But still, that ought to be our desire. I mean, that's what I want. I probably won't make it, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try. Amen? New Year's resolution. I'm not going to sin no more. No sin, none. Not even going to think a foolish thought. Y'all done blew it already. But that ought to be our New Year's resolution. How to begin the new year. That's what I want to preach about tonight. Yeah, look at there in 1 Timothy 4. We'll read there in just a minute. But I want to tell you this tonight. We are standing on the threshold. We are in the open door. We're treading on a borderline we've never trod before. Another year is opening. Another year is gone. We've passed the darkness of this night. We're in the early morn. We've left the fields behind us over which we've scattered seed. And we pass into the future that none of us can read. So hasten to fresh labor to thresh and reap and sow. And bid the new year welcome and let the old year go. It's very important you get that thought. Let the old year go. Nothing we can do about this past year. It's gone. It's done. You can lay up here in the altar and cry for 24 solid hours. And it ain't going to change one thing you've done or didn't do in this past year of 2003. I tell you what, our minute here tonight is where two eternities meet. Right here tonight. So we do have today, and we will have tomorrow if the Lord's will. But we can't do nothing about yesterday. So let's talk tonight about how to begin the new year. I want to say first of all tonight, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. And I think Paul said something like Timothy, the young preacher, I come, give attendance to reading. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
I come, give attendance to reading. Okay? And then he goes on to tell him some other things. I want to say tonight how to begin the new year. We want to first of all take a new look at the old book. Amen? We ought to take a new look tonight at the old book. The Bible said give attendance to reading. Not listening, reading. Not watching, reading. Not reading about, reading. Not reading books about the Bible, reading the Bible. Not listening to sermons, reading the Bible. Nothing wrong with reading books, nothing wrong with listening to sermons, but he told Timothy, read that thing. Read that thing. You know, years ago, America was a nation of Bible readers. People read the Bible. We have ceased to be a nation of Bible readers. I went to the Bible bookstore the other day, down here in Hickory. In Hickory. And I was looking for a Bible. I'm telling you, there's 10 million books. They're good books. A lot of them are good books. But no book. I don't care if it's Tim Lahaye's latest on the Left Behind series. I don't care if Dr. Dobson wrote it inspired by the Lord. I don't care if somebody wrote, I don't care if Billy Graham or anybody. There is no book going to take the place of your Bible in your life. You've got to read the Bible. Read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. Read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. Make up your mind you're going to read the Bible through and more. In 2004. I'm telling you what, boy. Listen, I made up my mind. By the grace of God, how many of us have finished the Bibles this year? We'll have by Wednesday night. I have. Amen. Well, that's a pretty good number here tonight. I want to challenge the rest of you. Read your Bible. Bible said in Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. The Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to a Christian who's not. Amen? The Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to a Christian who's not. I've had people come to me and say, oh, Brother Danny, my life's just all to pieces. I don't know what's going to happen. Everything's blowed up. I'm getting a divorce. I've lost my job. Everything's gone crazy. I say, where's your Bible? It's out in the car, and it's still got all the gold all the way around the pages, and the rings of it's warped up like that where it's been in the sun for 6 months. And I opened it up, and it was presented to them 5 years ago, and they've never even broke the seal off the love of God. You are not going to live for God in 2004 and leave your Bible laying down. Oh, I know that something beautiful and colorful on TV is more exciting than white pages with black words on them. But listen, nothing will feed your soul and help you through the burdens and trials. So he said it like this one time. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. I believe everybody in here tonight, let's see those hands again. Read your Bible all the way through this year, or we'll have by Wednesday night. Come on, people. We can do better than that. Right, you're not illiterate. Some of y'all got a college education. Some of you went to High Brighton. Lord have mercy. You ought to be able to read the as it is written, these and thous, God from the world. I'm telling you, brother, you ought to be able to read the Bible. Read the Bible, read the Bible. It's a book worth all other books. It's truth without any mixture of error. The Bible has 1,189 inspired chapters. The Bible had 31,175 verses, 810,697 words, 3,566,480 inspired letter, and every single jot and tittle, word, comma, paragraph, italics, every word of it is a word breathed from God to me and you. Make sense. We need, can you look at the old book? The best book on marriage counseling is a King James Bible. The best book on raising children is a King James Bible. The best book on prophecy is a King James Bible. The best book on evolution and creation is a King James Bible. The best book on stress is a King James Bible. The best book on all that stuff you women claim you got is a King James Bible. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah! The best book for a grouchy old man is a King James Bible. The best book for a rebellious, full of the devil teenager is a King James Bible. Take a new look at the old book. Whatever you need's in that book tonight. You ought to just get it once in a while. I mean, just lay a good one on it. Amen. And just read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read that book. At 10 chapters a day, you can read the Bible through 3 times in a year. That means most of you people in here have read less than 3 chapters a day, and you're wondering why you have such a hard time. Less than 3 chapters of the inspired, infallible, holy Word of God. I tell you what, I heard this preacher tell me the other day. I was talking to him, and he said, Lord, I turned on one of them independent Baptist stations, and he is one. He said, I turned in one of them, and he said they were preaching against earrings, long hair, and all that. And he said, I turned another preacher, and he is preaching against this. They have another preacher preaching against that. He said, man, he said, them fellas talk more about the King James Bible to preach less of it than anybody I've ever heard in my life. Amen. And everybody grabs up, woo, the King James Bible, and lay it home, don't even read the thing. He said he turned over to a liberal station. Listen, some woman got more of a blessing out of somebody on there than he did out of them supposedly Bible-believing preachers. Amen. I mean, Joyce Meyer will at least give you something a while with life in the Word. Amen. English looks like this. Amen. I'll tell you what, brother. You hear me? I'm glad, brother, that we've got a book. It's still fresh. They still stuff. Nobody ain't never found out. They still fresh nuggets in the Word of God. It's still fresh hot bread from heaven. And I'm telling you tonight, we need to take a new look at the old book. Amen. You can read 5 chapters in the Old Testament and 5 in the New Testament and read your Old Testament twice and New Testament 7 times this coming. You can read 5 chapters a day only and read your Old Testament once and your New Testament nearly 3 times. At 5 chapters a day. Anybody in here can't do that? Is there anybody you say, well, Brother Danny, I just can't understand. Well, you genius. You mean you're going to wait till you understand it before you read it? That ain't never going to happen. You know, I remember when I started reading the Bible, I made myself read every word. I remember getting the Bible down, and I tried to pronounce. You ought to heard me pronouncing them words. Lord, I tried every syllable. I went by on top of the syllables, you know. I said, may her, shay, ler, hash, bez, me, wisner. And I tried to, I probably didn't have them right, but I said, if this is the word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God. You say, well, all it is over there in Chronicles is a bunch of names, but God's got them names in there for a reason. And you'll be reading a whole page full of names, and about that time, right in the middle of it, it'll say, and God blessed him. And he'll reach out there and grab you, and the Lord will flood you. So, you know why some of the Bible is boring? Because much of life is boring, and the Bible is a true life book, and it makes you trudge through the daily little annoying things that you don't see no reason for, because it's a book of life, and every word in it is the word of the living God. Amen. I tell you what you can do. You can read 5 chapters a day and read your Old Testament once and your New Testament 3 times. You can read 3 chapters in the Old Testament and 2 in the New Testament and read the Old Testament through and the New Testament twice in a year. I'm telling you, it's time in 2004 that we take a new look at the old book. What are you going to do when you get to heaven and Nahum comes up to you and says, You are one of those Christians and from North Carolina, the Bible Hill? Yeah, man, praise God, hallelujah. We had it all right. Our doctrine was straight. We was right and everybody else was wrong. And Nahum said, did you enjoy my book? And he said, Lord, I didn't even know you had one in there. I know it said something about somebody told me it had cars in there and jostling in the streets. That's the verse I ever knowed about you. How about Habakkuk? Oh, Habakkuk, how'd he get here? And he said, did you enjoy my book? Oh, I only knowed you had one verse, and that's about woe to him that gives his neighbor a drink or something like that. He said, there's a whole lot more in there than that. Malachi, Ezra, Nehemiah, Nahemiah, as we used to call it when I first got saved. I'm telling you, brother, all those books. I don't care what kind of problem you'll have. You keep reading that book, it'll jump out at you after a while, and God will give you some. Everybody talks about George Mueller and him being a great man of God, and he was a great man of God. You know, don't hear much. He read the Bible through 200 times, 100 on his knees. Man read the Bible through 100 times on his knees. As you know, Dr. Ruckman, he's way up there, next, close to 200 now, probably 160, something like that, and not to mention other book in the world. And I'm going to tell you what, brother, listen, that book gets in you, that book, and you get like old Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite. You know him? Oh, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, Dudu, or something like that, the Ahohite. And boy, that old boy, sword, and he took that sword and he killed people all day long, and he killed them, whacked their heads off, whacked their heads off, whacked their heads off, whacked their heads off, whacked everybody's head off. And that day his hand clave to the sword. And the Bible said that you couldn't tell that sword was an extension of his hand. You couldn't tell where his sword stopped and his hand started. It's like all one thing. That sword was part of it. And we ought to get to where that book right there, it's just an extension of our arm. It ought to be, you can't tell where a hand stopped and the sword starts. We ought to quote Scripture, live by Scripture, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. The Bible said, and we ought to take a new look at the old book in 2004. Everybody in here tonight that can read ought to say, I'm going to read it through in 2004. What can we say? Read it more in 4. More in 4. Amen. I'm not Gore in 4, for heaven's sake. And not Dean, whoever Sam Hill Dean is. Get rid of him before he even starts. Amen. Save us a lot of money. Amen. We'll take the burning bush for another 4. Amen. How about I tell you what, boy? Brother Bush in 4. Hallelujah. But we'll read the Bible through. Amen. You'll quit your sinning or you'll quit your reading, one of the two. This is still the book that God speaks through. It's still the book that has the answer to your problem. It has the direction for your decision. It's a lamb to your feet. It's still a light unto my path. It's protected us. Amen. I like that story that time that old boy, he went over to mission field somewhere, and he wasn't a missionary. Missionaries had been there before him. And he is an atheist and gone over there to study, and lo and behold, he said, now we're studying over here in Amazon and we're studying all these jungle people, and there sat a headhunter. He said, there's a native headhunter. And that native headhunter was sitting there stirring his big old pot like this and smoke coming up out of it, and there was a Bible.
And I go, oh Lord, these people done got over here and corrupted these poor heathen, messed their minds up. He starts saying, man, somebody done got over here. He said, that's right, I believe that book. He said, let me ask you something. What good's that book ever done anybody? He said, sir, if it were not for that book, your head would be in that book. He just kept stirring like that. Hey, man, that book's done a lot of good. That book's protected me and you. He said one time this old boy had a Bible in his shirt pocket like that, a little bitty Bible that his mama gave him, and carried it around. He was a soldier, and some old thugs grabbed him and jerked him around and he was going to beat him up, and he was reaching there for his wallet and hunting his money, and one of them pulled up and said, oh no, he's one of them, and he grabbed that and they took off running, saved his life. That book has protected us many times. You girls want some protection? You say, well, these old men at work, they just won't leave me alone. You know, most time when a girl says that, she's just eating it up. You know what? I said, well, I told him and he won't leave me alone. Yeah, you love it, don't you? You love it and you hang it on and smile it. But if you really want to leave you alone, tell you what to do. Bring that to work with you. You've got AIDS, ma'am. Compares even concerned, you bring it to work. Hey, man, lay that thing down there. Let him see you in there. He says, hey, good, look at what you're doing. Said, could you explain this first to me right here? What does this mean? He said, I'll see you later. Amen. He's gone. This book will protect you. This book will guide you. This book will keep you out of trouble. Amen. Take a new look at the old book. Let's make up our mind. You say, well, I do it every year, preacher, and I never make it. Well, quit being a quitter. You're a good quitter. Quit. Amen. There's one thing you really need to quit. Quit. And amen. And say, I'm going to read it through if it killed me. I remember I was such a fanatic years ago, and I still do. I've read my Bible through this year. I've got about 2-3 chapters of Revelation. I've read the Testament through twice, and my Old Testament, not counting my, you know, my regular studies and stuff. And I remember I was such a fanatic when I was a young Christian of reading my 10 chapters a day or 5 chapters a day that I'd lay down and I'd start going to sleep. And I'd get so sleepy, I'd keep my eyes open. And I remember many a night trying to read the Bible. You've probably done this too. And I get lost at where I was at. I'd read the same verse about 4 times. Have you ever done that? I'd say, am I on 11 or I'm on 12? And then I'd read 13, 14. And in my mind, I'd think, you skipped 11. And I'd go back up there and read 11 again. I thought I'd done read that. Maybe I didn't read 10. I'd go back and read 10. And then I couldn't stay awake. And I'd walk back and forth in my bedroom like this. And you say, well, why'd you do that? Because many a time I drove home at night, was so sleepy that I didn't want to drive home. And I slapped myself and everything trying to stay awake to read. If I can slap myself to stay awake to get home, I can make myself stay awake and read that book. Yeah. You do that to watch that movie? Amazing how you can sit up and watch a movie till 11:30 and 12 o'clock at night and can't read one chapter in your Bible because you're too tired. That's what's happening to come. I'm just tired for you. Yeah, you are. You're just backslid. Amen. Make up your mind. I'm going to take a new look at the old in 2004. Amen. Yeah. It is impossible to mentally or socially enslave a Bible reading people. And America will stay free as long as we read our Bibles. The Bible produces rugged individuality. It makes angels out of people. We're not clones, brother. It'll make you stand for something. Make you believe in something. Make you have some convictions and a purpose about you. Ain't nothing in the world like this book. I want to say number 2 tonight. How to begin the year, we need to take a new walk down the old road. Jeremiah 6:16, you know the scripture, it says, seek ye the old paths. Where is the good way is? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. In the new way of worship, or the old path of worship. Every time your neighbors see your car pulling out of the driveway, it's a testimony to them. Listen, I tell you what, brother, I remember years ago up at New Manor, we had them buses pulling in there on Sunday morning, and the bus kids would sit out there and blow them horns on them buses. In apartments across the street over there, there's people over there passed out, drunk from the night before. And one old boy got under conviction so much, him and his wife come over and got saved, joined the church. He got called to preach, and God changed the whole family. You know why? Because them buses blowing them horns. Listen, brother, we need to take a new walk down the old road, keep them buses rolling. We ain't going to cut back on the bus ministry. Hey, man, you say we're crowded. So what? So was they on the day of Pentecost. That's all right. Amen. If it ain't crowded, much ain't going on. I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, we need to take a new walk down the old way of worship. It's still right to shout. It's still right to say amen. It's still right to wave your hands once in a while and enjoy God. You say, well, Brother Davey, that's out of style. I know. We need to take a new walk down the old road. There is something about going to church where the people get involved in worshiping that brings conviction. I saw it a while ago. I saw it a while ago. It was almost a good spirit of worship moved in here. And I noticed all the church, people was crying. It's supposed to be. Y'all are not supposed to just sit there like spectators and be entertained by what goes on the platform. We're supposed to all get in on it. You know, a lot of churches, they sit there and the choir or the special were performing, they'll, and then somebody else, and they'll all stand there, and then the preacher will preach, and it's like you're watching, like it's a show, like it's a, and I mean, that's better than nothing, but you're supposed to get in on it. There's nothing wrong, brother. I was in Lenore years ago in a church service, and I was over there one night, and this old boy stood up. He'd been drunk for about 50 years and got saved, but I ain't never seen that fella before or since. And I was sitting there that night. He stood up back here in the back, no education, didn't know much about the Bible, didn't know much about God. He started standing up there and he'd say, boy, God's been good to me, blah, blah. And it's just like God got all over that church. He done more than I did that night. I mean, he throwed salt on that service. He made everybody so thirsty. By the time he got through, I'm telling you what, God was all over that place. I've seen Miss Karen and girls and others do the same thing. Just get up and start singing, and a spirit of worship just comes on the whole church. Listen, people, if you come to church, I noticed some of you a while ago, and I was trying to get some prayers answered and get some help myself, and I'm looking around here a while ago, and I noticed some of y'all sitting back there with this blank stare on your face. And you know what you've been doing? You've been so far away from God this week that you can't even get in. You're sitting there thinking, man, I'd like to feel it. Man, I'd like to feel God. Man, I'd like to cry. I'd like to get on the altar and weep and get my heart right. But sin has hardened your heart. And sin has made you cold on God. We need to take a new walk down the old road and just raise our hands once in a while and say, hallelujah, He's still God. He's still on His throne. Why don't you worship Him a little bit? Take a new walk down the old road. Why do you even go to church anyway? Some go to take a walk. Some go to laugh and talk. Some go to meet a friend. Some go their time to spend. Some go to meet a lover. Some go a fault to cover. Some go for speculation. Others go for observation. Some go to doze and nod. But others go to worship God. I told you before about that little fellow I met down in South Carolina. Down there in Pickens, South Carolina. And that old boy, he's a crazy man. He'd come into church, and his name was Charlie. And they called him Shouting Charlie, and honestly, here's exactly what he did. I'd never seen him before. He's real old, and he's a little short fella. He'd come down the aisle and go like this. He goes, oh! Woo! I mean, the service hadn't even started. He'd come down and, woo! Woo! Everybody said, there's Shouting Charlie. We're going to have a time tonight. I thought, boy, wouldn't it be a blessing? Yeah. Wouldn't it be a blessing? Big old black lady up in Marion, she raised about 50 kids. Her name was Miss Moore. And they called her Mo, Miss Mo. And they said, Lord, that's Miss Mo. We're going to have a service tonight. I remember, I don't know if y'all know Miss Mo. She raised a bunch of kids up in Marion. And buddy old Charlie came in that night. He come in and shout. He'd sit down, and he's one of these, every time a preacher says something, he'd just laugh and pat everybody on the back. Amen. And he'd do like that. And about that time, he'd jump up like this. He'd go, woo! And he'd run over here and grab somebody by the leg. I'd run back over here and sit down. Then he'd go, woo! Then he'd run over here and grab him by the leg and jerk. I've never seen nobody do that. That's a weird way to worship. But every time he'd do that, God just get all over that place. And this boy that came to me that night, he was from Marion, he drove down out of the revival. He'd had a motorcycle wreck. And his knee was swelled up. So Ted used to play the guitar up there, and he sat there shouting. Charlie sat down right beside him. And he's one of these people, every time a preacher says, he'd go, ha, ha, and just hit them on the side. Just pow, slap it, and Ted go, oh, oh. Ted was about to die. He didn't want to act like he wasn't spiritual. He liked to beat him to death. We had a time. We worshiped. We enjoyed God. Miss Curran, that reminds me of some of the services we had up there at Allendale. Boy, where God was so real. You know, we need to take a new walk down the old road. Bible said God seeketh such to worship Him.
That's right.
In spirit and truth. I don't think we ought to put on or fake it, but I don't think we ought to hold back and worship Him, the one that died for us.
That's right.
Is coming. It's what we're going to do when we get to heaven. I can see some of this crowd when they get to heaven going, you know, like that. See, we told you we'll be going, glory to God, hallelujah. We'll be going,
yeah.
You know, like that, try and learn how. I'm telling you, we need to take a new walk. Amen. Some of you, you're scared to death to cry. Afraid that old black stuff's going to start running down your cheek. I've seen just big lines of it start going to that like that. Lord, I've seen them get up and they look like Marilyn Manson when they stood up. That three big paint lines like that. That's all right. Go ahead and let your face run off. Walmart, you can buy you another face tomorrow. They sell it pretty cheap over there. Go ahead. I've seen them go. Just forget it, sister. Let it run off. Amen. We ain't going to laugh at you. We might not recognize you, but at least you're, hey. Amen. Hey. Lord, I'm not trying to discourage you. Y'all need all the help you can get. Us guys, it's just what you see, what you get, man. It's just the way we look. No, I ain't got nothing on. But I'm going to tell you what, brother. If you hear me tonight, we need to take a new walk down the old road. Back when people let pray together in their home. Taught to respect God. All this stuff at home. Girls, boys, learn how to worship God. Amen. Children were taught to obey their parents. People nowadays say, I can't come to church. I got this little. I can't do nothing with him. That ain't not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, I don't want to go back to the horse and buggy days, but Lord, we ought to take a new walk down the old road of worship. Yeah. Amen. Then I want to say, thirdly tonight, we ought to have a new Willis with the old Wallet. Amen. Amen. We ought to have a new willingness with an old wallet. Everybody say it on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Amen. We ought to be willing to give. Amen. Seem like the more some people make, the less money they give. The more they make, the tighter they are. I'm just using this for an illustration. You know who I see people giving stuff a lot of time? Is the people in the church that can afford it the least. Lady in my son, it made me feel about that high. Walked up, put some money in my hand. I said, sister, you do not... Don't you? I felt awful taking it. She said, Brother Danny, I want you to have this. I said, no. She said, I want you to have this. I said, no. And I thought, that lady needs that money. And I thought, isn't it funny that so many people who can give won't give, and the people that barely makes it is the freest givers just about every time. And you might as well say amen right there. There's something about money that grabs a hold of a person and chokes them. That's why God's work is always the finance. By common, ordinary, everyday, hard-working people. Everybody say, praise God, let's pray for a millionaire. Come in and give us some money, build us a church. That ain't going to happen. You say, if you believe it, would? No, it wouldn't. God ain't going to let that happen if we're sitting in here tonight hobbing Him of what we're supposed to be doing. If everybody in church do what they're supposed to, God can take it, multiply it, and do what we need. He ain't going to send a millionaire in here to give us $1 million if you're not even giving what you're supposed to. I remember when Corey was real little. She was sitting on that bar in the kitchen. And there's some money laying there. $20 bill and $10 bill. And I was walking around in the house doing something. And I come back and it was in 100 pieces. She just ripped it all to pieces. $30! I said, honey, no! I grabbed it up like that. And I started trying to fit it back in. You know, get some tape and make it look right. I thought, she ripped up $30. And I thought, you know, a little old kid like that, money don't mean nothing to him. Little baby. And I thought, boy, that's the way it is when you really get right with God. Money don't mean nothing. I've seen people get right with God, get in the Spirit of God. Money didn't care. I've seen people just do like this, open up, dump out everything in there. I've seen people give tell you, the way you know you're not right with God is when you start getting stingy with that wallet, man. Some people are so stingy, they'd steal a fly from a blind spider, amen. I mean, they sing through their nose, keep wearing their false teeth out. They're tighter than a bark on a tree. They wouldn't give you air in a jug. They wouldn't give God a dime and gripe because they ain't got nothing. We need a new willingness with the old wallet. I'm believing that this is going to be the year when the Lord opens us up a place to build a church. I'm tired of waiting. Now, He might not, but I'm believing it's going to be the year. And if He does, you know who He's going to use to do it? There's people sitting right in here. Some people say, well, we can go out here and raise funds and funds. No, wait. We're going to raise no funds as long as we're sitting on the funds. Yeah. We're adding on the funds, man. Don't. I learned a long time ago that Baptists. With the old wallet. Not only that, number three, four, whatever it is. We need to make a new sight at some old saints. Bible said, be kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Yeah. You know what causes problems in churches? In anchor stores. Nope. If they built an ABC store across the street over there, it wouldn't hurt us one bit. Yep, we could witness more. Wouldn't hurt us one bit. And, oh, preacher, the devil's moved in across the street. He ain't across the street. He's on this side of the street. Devil's here, brother. Devil's here. Devil ain't even go to the liquor store. He's got them people. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's already got them. You know what the devil will do? He'll try to make you get your feelings hurt or somebody or mad at somebody or draw division or hurt feelings or get you mad at somebody. Well, I'm just not speaking to them. I'm going to speak to them. And I hate him and I hate him. And I'm never going back. And the preacher didn't come see me and I had two boogers on one side and three boogers on the other side of my nose. And he didn't even visit me and I'm just not going to. Hey, you know what? Now, listen, the end of the year would be a good time to forgive and forget and forgive everybody of anything they've done against you. Wipe the slate clean. Start all over again. When I'm counseling husbands and wives, you know what I always tell them? I say, every day, you got to do like them little things we used to have, where you would write on them, and you know, you'd write, and then you take his paper and you go, and it makes it go away, and it's clean again. That's what you got to do if you're married. Every day you got to start all over again. You can't hold back from yesterday and day before and day before and day before and day before. And then I'll kill them one day. You gotta start all over every day. Start all over every day. Amen? Now listen. If a marriage has got to do that to make it, a church has got to do that to make it. Hey, I'm the preacher. Let's do this. Let's everybody in here tonight drop any hard feelings that you've got toward anybody else. No. Hey. You just don't know what they done. I don't know what they done to you, but it ain't as bad as what you done to Jesus. And the Bible said, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The way to forgive each other is think about all the bad stuff you've done to the Lord, and He forgives you. Amen? Some of y'all laid out of Sunday school this morning. You ain't got no business criticizing nobody else. Didn't even come to Sunday school. I thought we never was going to get going waiting on half of our church people here this morning. Listen, there ain't no reason for that. You can come to church. You can pay your tithes. You might not be able to preach or sing, but for heaven's sake. Now, I know sometimes things happen. I'm not fussing. I'm just saying, every time you point your finger at somebody else, there's always something they can find just as big a fault with you. You won't get in a fault-finding contest? It's easy to do.
Yeah.
I can find just as much wrong with you as you can me, or we can each other. Man come one time and said, I've got to throw so-and-so out. You know what's going to happen if you throw so-and-so out? They're going to say, what about brother so-and-so? And you're going to throw him out. And ain't nobody else going to be able to throw after it's all over with. The Lord said it like this one time. He that's without sin, cast that first stone. Take a new sight at some old saints. Workers. How about it? Choir, how about it? Settle some stuff. Let's settle some stuff. Sir, Brother Danny, you said something I disagreed with. Well, if you're going to find a church where the preacher says you Never said nothing you agree with. You're not. He ain't gonna be doing much preaching.
Amen.
It's gonna happen. Take a new sight at some old sayings. And I'm gonna say one more thing, and I'll be through tonight. We need to get a new sincere burden for some old sinner. Longer I'm saved, the less burden for sinners that I see in my life and other people's life. I'm guilty of this. I need to get down here in the altar tonight and ask God to renew my burden for sinners. I got a cousin who lives just a few miles from me, and I pass by his house just about every day. And for years, every time I go by there, I feel a little nudge that I should witness to him. I have witnessed to him. I asked him, was he saved? I called another good preacher friend of mine who's a soul winner, and I said, please go by and see him. I don't know if he ever did or not. I come there last night, yesterday. Sometimes I see him out in the woods there working in front of his house. And every time I go by there, something says, one of these days you're going to go by there and there's going to be a sign that says, funeral. I preached on that this morning about being pulled out of the fire. Hell's still real. Hell's still hot. People are screaming and burning there right now. And we need a new burden for some old sinners. We don't need to slack up on our bus ministry. We don't need to pull back. We need to go forward. This might be the last year we ever have if God lets us live till this Saturday. I think we need to make a new start in the new year and do what we can for the Lord. It's scary. Scary time. It's a scary, scary time. I don't know what we might be facing. I don't know how much we may have to face. I may not make it. Our kids are watching us. I remember Crystal one time when she was real little. Me and her, we was getting gas at the store. She's about 4 or 5. And most of y'all know me. When I go out places, I try to say something to people. And I was getting gas. She was sitting there beside me. And I paid by. And I was getting ready to roll the window up. And she said, ain't you going to tell him God loves him or something? I'll never forget her saying that. I said, sure I am. I think I'd forgot it or something, but I always do that. I'll say, Jesus loves you, the Lord comes, you know, or, you know, go to church Sunday. I try to say something like that, you know, checking you out at Walmart. I go at Spruce Pine at that super Walmart. Talking about the kids watching, I go at Spruce Pine at that super Walmart and get my groceries. Not all the time. Sometimes I get them down here. But I go to that Walmart up there. And there's this girl up there got real weird, wild-looking hair. And we witnessed to her one night. And I said, did you go to church yesterday, this on Monday? She said, no. I fussed at her and I said, you need to get in church and you need to go get in God's house, you know, and everything. Tell you the truth, I about forgot about it. It'd been a few weeks later in the checkout line. And I didn't know if it was her or not. I didn't pay no attention because her hair looked completely different. And she had it fixed like a chicken or something. It was just like, it was a flip, 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 all out right around here. It looked like a chicken. It looked like a chicken was sitting on her head and different color. And then I went back and it was all straight, but it was striped like a skunk kind of. Like had it was dark and it had white stripes. And it looked all right, I reckon. And you know what? I didn't know if it was the same girl. And I was looking for my stuff. And I said, can I ask you something, ma'am? And she said, same question you asked me last time. I said, oh, you remember me? She said, yes, I do. I said, did you go to church yesterday? She said, yes, I did. And I said, praise the Lord. Amen. But we are, that's a burden from old sinners. It ain't going to kill us to witness to people. Some of you used to witness all the time. You young preachers?
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. You ought to be witnessing all the time. You young preachers want God to use you? I tell you what you're going to do. First of all, you got to come to church regular. I couldn't find half of you. It's at 10 after 10 this morning. And I mean that. I'm fussing. I mean that. Ain't no sense in a preacher not even coming to church on time. And then you got to stay faithful to God and do what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
Amen? Get in there and then witness to everybody. And God will look down and He'll see you doing that and He'll move you on up. Move you on up. We need a new burden for some old sinners. Years ago, my dad passed away 13 years ago today. 13 years ago today. And I preached a message along these lines that morning. I told him I was going to come back and preach the rest of it that night. Dad died that morning. We cried all evening and come back and did preach the rest of that message that night. And I thought many, many times, we don't ever know. Like I was talking about my cousin, we don't know. We need a new burden for some old sinners. We still got what they need. And let's give it to them in 2004. I'm sure we'll hear some great messages Wednesday night on how to begin the new year. But I just want to encourage you, let's read the Bible. Let's get in church faithfully. Let's give like we're supposed to. And let's take a new walk down the old road. Let's forgive each other. Just, it's a good time to start over. That's what I want to do. Let's stand with our heads bowed.